Okay, Max Egan now joins us on the Bob Tuscan Show. Max, a good friend of the program and an Aussie, but he still understands the true meaning of independence, more so than many other people out there. He's done many films on what I consider to be true independence. Again, independence from the scarcity-based control of the powers that shouldn't be. Max, welcome to the Bob Tuscan Show. Always great to have you.
Nice to be here, Bob. Thanks for asking me on again.
Well, thank you for coming on, and there's a lot to talk about. But tell me, what does this Independence Day here in the U.S. mean to you?
Well, independence, sovereignty, equity, being who and what you are under God, whatever you perceive God to be, being true to yourself, following the one law of creation, not answerable to anything else other than the conscience of God. And if you do follow the one law of creation, which is service to the creation, serve yourself, serve others, serve the earth, serve all around you, in order that all around you will serve you back in turn, then you don't do anything wrong, and so you shouldn't be applicable to any man-made laws that infringe upon your right to do those things. To me, that's what independence is, and that's where everybody needs to be and what everybody needs to stand in. I think it's more of an energetic state than anything else.
Do you think people understand natural law?
Well, a lot of people don't, because people are caught up in legal fiction. They believe that what people write on pieces of paper is law. But really, natural law is the conscience of the Creator. That's what it is, whatever you perceive that to be. And it could be the Christian God, it could be a giant robot, it could be a giant grasshopper, it could be anything you want it to be, whatever you believe your Creator is. And if you understand that the Creator created the creation out of service, and that the role of all within creation is to serve the creation, to me, that's natural law. To me, you know, you don't hurt people, and people don't hurt you. You don't steal. There's no reason to, because humanity should be in a natural state of abundance. It's only the legal fiction that they put in place and the monetary system that prevents us from being in our natural state. And to me, that's what natural law is. It even goes above common law. It goes above even equity. It goes above everything. It's basically the conscience of the Creator, the conscience of God. And I believe we are all simply expressions of frequencies of the mind of the Creator. And that's what, to me, natural law is.
Pavlov did a experiment with chickens. I think I've told this to you before. And he provided the chickens with an abundance of food and water, so whenever they were hungry, they would just go and they would get some. And he observed their behaviors. He then observed their behaviors under conditions of scarcity. And only then did they start to hoard, steal, become more aggressive, and eventually he could get them to the point in which they would kill one another. Pecking order.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what scarcity does. And that's why law itself, man-made law, is such an infringement upon natural law.
Right. Exactly right. And that's how they're able to put forth all this man-made law, is through the chaos. Order out of chaos. They perpetuate the scarcity and have kept us a slave. And when I say they, I don't mean necessarily the Rothschilds or a specific family per se. What I mean is, I want to use the word system, Max, but it's a system / bloodline sort of deal.
Well, it is. It's just an idea, though. It's just a system. I mean, it is the system itself that's at fault, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have to think to yourself, every 100 years or so, the players die, you know, but the game still remains. And as long as we have the levers, people are going to be pulling those levers. As long as we have the game, people are going to play the game.
Well, yeah, and like you said, it's order out of chaos as well. And it's got to be, it isn't just social chaos and economic chaos and military chaos. It's also intellectual chaos. And they've been very, very careful to make us, subject to all of this intellectual chaos. Like, people going down different rabbit holes and just the whole, it's so convoluted, the whole system. It's so difficult to understand because it's so chaotic.
Yeah, and it's almost like it's being used, you know, to manipulate people and distract them, because just like a pile of a vacuum. It sucks up all the junk, but then there's also the occasional diamond in the rough, you know?
Well, there is, but it's the system itself. I mean, that's why it's so difficult to blame people within the system. I mean, sure, there are those who control the money system, and they obviously know what they're doing. It's a totally corrupt money system that is designed to keep people in shortage. But as far as everybody else within the system, even many of the politicians, I don't think they're necessarily evil. They're just working within the system. They're just locked into left-brain reality. And they believe that success and all of this sort of stuff is acquisition of social status, acquisition of efficiency as well. They get within the system and they work to make the system more efficient. Then they become a more successful person or whatever business they're doing. If they can get their business or their section of the economy or their role in politics or whatever to run more smoothly and more efficiently and more dynamically and more streamlined, then they're considered to be a successful person. So it's the system itself and people's understanding of the system that continually makes itself more efficient. And the more efficient the system gets at being the system, the more humanity gets discarded along the way. And yet this system is supposed to be there to support the needs of humanity. But it isn't doing that. It's supporting the needs of the system simply by the way it functions. It's almost like it's an energetic life form on its own. But really, it's just an idea. It's the concept that this is the way the world should be. And we go to school and we all get taught that this is the way the world should be. And so we grow up and we get into the system and we just work to make it more efficient. And by doing so, we just discard more and more of the human race.
So Independence Day, Max, about breaking free from that system?
Yeah, Independence Day is about being who and what you are. Being independent of the system, being independent of the intellectual chaos, starting to realize that the system is just an idea, that what's important is you, what's important is the earth that you live on and the people around you. And if you all work together to support each other and support the earth that you live on, the whole system just disappears. It's just that people, they just can't do that. So to me, that's what independence is. It's knowing who and what you are and knowing what your potential is and striving to reach that potential, not operating within the parameters that are provided for you by the system because they're all fiction.
That's exactly right. All right, folks, Max Egan joining us on the Bob Tuscan Show tonight. We'll come back in just a little bit. We'll talk about gardening at some point. I know Max and I both love to talk about gardening. And we may mention a little bit about, well, we'll tell you about it when we come back in just a moment. A lot of our listeners have already been following it, so I'm sure they know that we can't avoid this topic. But we'll talk about it in just a moment. It's the Bob Tuscan Show. Don't go anywhere. All right, we're going to pick it right back up with Max Egan on the Bob Tuscan Show. So, Max, you didn't mean to get in the middle of all this, but you were just out of the blue calling Charlie to talk about his recent change on 9/11. And Charlie's been somebody on that I've had on the show before. You've talked to him in the past. And we never expected this, to be honest. I know many out there have since looked back at the guy and speculated on all sorts of stuff. I'm not so sure that I like to talk about him personally other than talking about the ideas that he's now come out and denounced. His girlfriend, Silky Carlo, who many people know this, is a reality TV star, not that that makes a difference, has recently published a blog post on her website saying that her Richard Gage event recently, 2 weeks ago, that they had, was a huge success. And she says, quote, "I'd like to clearly assert my position on the events of 9/11. There is much evidence to validate a new, fully independent investigation into the events of 9/11. I fully support an academic debate between opposing scientists. I sincerely hope the truth and justice prevails. She goes on to say that, let's see here. I don't want to read all of this, but check it out. She's weighed in on this now, and a lot of people are wondering what the heck's going on here. Max, you spoke to Charlie about this shortly after he released that video, and you've since done some follow-up interviews and looked into it a bit more. Tell me your thoughts. Where do we stand with this? And before I say that, let me just do a quick disclaimer. I think this is a distraction. At the end of the day, I really rather not spend time talking about individuals, whether they may or may not be shills, although I do not negate the fact that there are people out there, COINTELPRO, if you will, that are trying to, you know, make us, like we were talking about before, be in a state of chaos, divide us. Divide and conquer is the name of the game. So I am open to the fact that there's people out there who are COINTELPRO, but I'm not quick to talk about that. And, you know, 10 years later now with this 9/11 anniversary coming up, I think it's time we demand justice now more than ever, because it, you know, if the further we get away from that day, the further we get away from receiving justice and true justice. And Max, I'll let you take it from there. Why don't you go ahead and give your thoughts on this situation?
Yeah, well, for some reason, I seem to have been elected the unofficial Charlie Veach versus the Truth Movement mediator or something like that. It wasn't a position that I actually planned for. And I mean, it's, you know, I'm not Charlie Veach, and it's not much point asking me questions about Charlie Veach. All I know is what you guys heard, what I posted on that talk that I had with him. There was a talk that happened about, must have been 45 minutes later or an hour later after that first talk, which Adam Davis joined in as well. And that was the same night, by the way, folks. That wasn't sort of the next day. I didn't get posted till the next day. Because Adam, I sent the file to Adam. He wanted to listen back what he said and decide whether to include the ending or not. But it was actually recorded about 45 minutes or an hour after the first one. Now, look, I haven't seen evidence that would convince me that 9/11 does not warrant a new investigation. I've always said, look, it's an inside job, simply because the evidence, I mean, the thermite, there's so much stuff to indicate that it didn't happen the way they told us. And for that to be covered up, even that cover-up itself indicates insider help. So I think it absolutely warrants a new investigation. Charlie has his own opinion. I mean, I speculated. I got rung up by a Sydney breakfast radio show the next day, and, of course, they asked me about Charlie Veach as well. I thought they just wanted to talk, but no, it was about Charlie. And I speculate on this. So look, maybe it was a plan from the beginning. Maybe it was a psyop from the beginning. Maybe that's why he was filming all the Love Police. Maybe all of this stuff. You've got to look at it. You've got to speculate. But then there's the other side, and maybe he just changed his mind. Maybe he saw something that we didn't, and, you know, it changed his mind. Like I said, personally, I need answers to things such as molten metal, thermite residue, no wing damage on the Pentagon. I'm not buying the wings folded into the plane stuff. I need explanations as to how a plane can vaporize, but DNA can be found. I need answers to these things. These things are not being answered, and so a new investigation is warranted. As far as Charlie Veach goes, I personally don't know how he can deny these things or say these things shouldn't be answered. But then I didn't get to talk to him that well either. I mean, it was late at night. I saw him come online on Skype. I sent him a message and said, "Hey, Charlie, what's going on?" Quick call with a question mark. And he called me. And because I have my Skype set to record by default, because otherwise I forget to push record often when I'm interviewing, as soon as I get an incoming call, it just records it by default. And then at the end of the show, the end of the talk, it was just a talk. It was just basically two guys talking on Skype. It wasn't even planned to be an interview. Charlie himself said, "You know, Max, I actually wish you'd recorded this." And I said, "Well, actually, I did, because everything records by default. But I wouldn't post it without asking you." And he said, no, please, please post it, because this explains how I feel." And so I posted it. And it's just been this thing that's gone viral. It's created this huge sensation. I don't hate Charlie Veach. I like Charlie Veach, actually. I think he's a nice guy. I've chatted to him maybe three times in all. I mean, I had him on the show once. I think I spoke to him once after that, when we just sort of spoke for half an hour or 20 minutes and just chatted about I don't know what. Then I spoke to him again when I spoke to him the other day. So I mean, he's more of an acquaintance than a friend, but I like the guy because I just like people, and Charlie's a likable guy. What's not to like? His turnaround on the truth movement is disturbing in as much as he's kind of vilified the people that still believe there should be a new investigation. Well, he did on the show a little bit, but then he might have been, you know, tired and he didn't know he was being recorded. And I mean, you've got to look at all of this in put all of it in there, you know, so it's just been kind of blown right out of proportion, I think, to be honest. I personally think that there needs to be a new investigation. I think it absolutely reeks of inside intervention, if not inside operation. And I think there absolutely needs to be a new investigation simply because of the situation that's been created around the world since it happened. What we see now is the whole world is virtually in a state where Nazi Germany in 1939, just before the war started, TSA, everything that's going on, it's just ridiculous. The rights have been removed from the people left, right and centre due to 9/11. I look at the whole situation of how the influence of the American government in World War II, the influence of the Ford Motor Company, Prescott Bush, all the ties to European banking cartels and to England, the British royal family, you know, all of these Western influences that happened in Nazi Germany when that all happened, and I see how the Nazis didn't actually lose the war. They were just like a special ops division. They just ran a beta test, and after they'd done that to Germany, they kind of moved them out around the world, and they put the whole system out around the planet, and we've been gradually moving towards what Nazi Germany was like. Only they've taken 50 years to do it instead of 5. That's what
I'm saying. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so 9/11 was the Reichstag fire of the 21st century.
Absolutely. I think it was. I think if Arabs did do it, then they were probably paid by the same people to do it. I think the whole Al-Qaeda movement was all set up by the West anyway, and it's all financed by the West.
CIA to Max. Yeah, hold that thought, Max.
Exactly.
I want to get into that in just a moment. And in regards to Charlie Veach, well, folks, just be respectful. I think part of this is setting us up to have such a passionate response, and all these death threats and whatnot are not looking kindly upon us. If you're about truth, that's all that matters. We'll be right back with Max Egan. So I want to give Max the final word on the Charlie Veach distraction. Man, we were talking about the Casey Anthony distraction, and now the Charlie Veach distraction. Max, go ahead.
Well, like I was saying, I mean, everything that's happened since World War II, this is what 9/11, it's the pivotal event that caused all of this, regardless of who did it. And I think that Al-Qaeda and all these crew are all financed by the West anyway. I mean, the whole thing's, you know, if you really want to get to it, you look at the banking cartels, and I think it all ties back to there. I think it ties back to the United Nations. The whole crew, the whole system's corrupt. But, you know, my rapport with Charlie was I always liked Charlie, and I still like Charlie. I don't think I'm actually capable of hating anybody. And, you know, whether Charlie just changed his mind, that's okay for him to do so. Whether he was planned from the beginning, that's who he is, that's okay. I don't hate him for that. That's just who he is. I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I don't know why people keep asking me what's going on with Charlie. I mean, all I can do is, okay, we can take it to this extreme and speculate that he was a plant from the beginning, or we can take it to this extreme and say, well, maybe he just changed his mind. And he's entitled to be either one of those things. And my rapport with him on a personal level has always been a good rapport, and I'm happy to keep that way with everybody. But I think what has happened is people have been shocked by his reference to the truth movement as a religion and people as delusional and stuff like this. People feel betrayed. There are many people out there that continue to investigate 9/11 because they sincerely believe that this was a staged event and that their loved ones died there and their brothers and sisters around the planet continue to die and be repressed due to this event. And they want answers and they feel betrayed. And I can understand the anger that people have. But by throwing hate mail at Charlie, by vilifying Charlie and saying all the things that people are saying, all they are doing is becoming what they hate. You know, the way to go through this problem is compassion and unity. And I've always said that. And I get mad at people. I'll speak my mind. I did to the Prime Minister on the radio the other day. I called her right out. I called her a psychotic lunatic, a bitch, a barefaced liar. I challenged her to a public debate. And I stand by that, but I don't hate her for it. I get angry because of my brothers and sisters that are being tormented by the things that she's doing. But I don't hate her for that. I just want to call her out on it, and I want to speak to her publicly about it. And that's how I feel about everybody. I'll get my blood up, and I will speak my mind absolutely, but I'll never do so from a center of hatred. So stop all the hatred, folks. It's a distraction. Just move on. Someone's changed their mind. It doesn't matter. If they set the whole thing up from the beginning, well, they did very well. You know, and just leave it. Just move on, because, you know, it all just solidifies things for me. It just strengthens the movement, and it strengthens my resolve. And we're all offered these things in life. We're all offered tests. So just move through it.
All right. Fair enough. So, Max, you've been trying to take a break, but it's been pretty hard to, huh?
Well, yeah, Charlie sort of that. Don't want to bring him up again, but yeah, no, it's kind of interesting. But I went and did a radio show this morning on the local radio station, and that was sort of up at 7:30 and in there really early on breakfast radio. But that was to do with fracking. There's a big fracking meeting going on here tonight, coal seam gas mining. Coal seam gas mining has been taking up a huge amount of my energy lately. I've been really wanting to work on a new film, but the amount of fracking that's going on and the amount of action that's being stimulated in the community because of it, I've really gotten involved in that. And I think that now that it's happening on the ground like this, I kind of owe it to the people to go and support it and to be there. So that's been taking up a great deal of my time. But I do plan on having some time off if you guys let me.
Yeah, right. We got to stop asking you to come on the show. But you're such a great guest. It's hard not to have you come back on. And tell the listeners who are not familiar with the fracking issue a little bit about it.
Well, coal seam gas mining, it's you know, if anybody's seen the film Gasland, I recommend that you go and watch Gasland. That tells you all about it. It's drilling for natural gas through coal seams. And what they do is they inject chemicals down there. They explode it down there. And that fractures all the coal seam, and it releases the gas. But by doing this, they're also destroying water tables. They're also running huge pipelines through properties, and they're destroying nature. They're destroying everything. They're destroying the aquifers. And in Australia here, this is a very low country. We don't have any high mountains here, so we don't have precipitation that creates rivers and streams, way like you do in places such as South America or even in the Rocky Mountains, places like this. All of the water in Australia is spring-fed. This is a spring-fed nation. We have a thing called the Great Artesian Basin, and that is Australia's groundwater. It's the main aquifer, and it connects to all the other aquifers in the country. And by polluting aquifers in order to extract gas, they're polluting the groundwater in this country. Once they pollute the groundwater, then there can be no life in this country. What I see this as is it's Agenda 21. It's sustainability. If they destroy the groundwater in the country, then this forces everybody into concentrated population zones, into cities, where they will be fed recycled water, which is essentially dead water. It contains no energy. It's all Agenda 21. It's United Nations. Most of Australia's farmland is being sold out to United States, China, the Netherlands, and the UK, I think. That's the four countries, and they're buying up Australia. And there's a law that's been put in place by the Australian Prime Minister that any land sale under something like $321 million doesn't have to be declared. They don't have to know. They don't have to be able to trace it. So you can come into Australia and spend anything under $321 million on land. You know, $320 million is fine, and they don't want to know who bought it. They don't want to know where it's going. So what's happening is China and the UK and Netherlands and United States are buying up all of our land. But even with the United States buying it up, you've got to understand that that's really China buying it up these days, because China owns it.
Maybe that's why your prime minister speaks fluent Mandarin.
No, well, that was the previous prime minister. He got sacked.
Oh, okay. We're already on the next one already. Okay.
Yeah, we've got his traitorous deputy prime minister is in office at the moment. She's just a barefaced liar. She was actually voted in under the pretext of never introducing carbon tax. I promised not there will be no carbon tax in this country. So the country voted her in, and then she said, "Well, I promised that, but I'm going to have to rescind that promise." And now she's introducing carbon tax. So she's a barefaced liar. She should be charged with promissory estoppel and thrown in jail, basically. I've actually challenged her to a public debate, and I don't think she'll take me up on it, but it would be nice. I totally called her out on a Sydney breakfast radio the other day. I was quite irate, actually. She really gets my blood up. What's been going on here? The fracking, it's all over the country. You might have heard of something in Australia called intervention. I don't know whether you've heard about that. They intervened in the Aboriginal community in the Northern Territory. They claimed that there was child molestation going on, and they intervened and did all this stuff, which inhibited the rights of the original people of this country in the Northern Territory very, very much, and gave the government permission to go onto their land and do all these things. They did this because the Aboriginals refused to basically sign over the mining rights to their land to the government. So now the whole Northern Territory has been fracked. It's all opened it all up for mining in the Northern Territory, and now they're moving it out across the whole country. So it's an incredibly important issue in this country, and they've done it to the United States down through Pennsylvania, down through the Marcellus Shale. They've totally destroyed things down there, which is incidentally all along the Madrid Fault Line. People are concerned that there might be some seismic activity along the Madrid Fault Line. Well, the coal seam gas fracking isn't going to help that. And they're doing that over this whole country. This area that I live in has been earmarked for 40,000 gas wells. And this has just got to stop. It's complete madness. I'm putting forth that the government is actually operating in breach of trust by doing this to the Australian people. And that, I mean, and it's very difficult to get these people for what they do as well under their own system, because you try to charge them with a crime, but they haven't written the law that you can charge them with, because they're the ones who write the laws. You know what I mean? So it's very difficult to charge them under their own legal system. So what you need to do is approach these people and say, well, you need to show we, the citizens, and you could try this in America as well, folks. You need to approach your local members and your local politicians and say that we, the citizens, demand that you show us concrete proof that coal seam gas mining does not damage the water table. Because if you cannot show us that, then we want to know why you're fracking, why you're allowing this to happen, and you need to show cause why you should not be held in breach of trust and taken to The Hague and tried for environmental crimes under international law, because it is against international law to pollute groundwater. And that's, you know, try that way of turning their legal system on.
Sure.
But they need to show cause. You can't say I'm going to charge you, I'm going to take you to court or anything. Mm-hmm. They need to show cause why they should not be held accountable.
Well, water is one of the most precious of resources, and they're destroying our water table between this fracking and the nuclear junk. Geez, are we killing this planet?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's all.
Hold that thought, Max. Hold that thought. We'll pick it up in just a moment. Quick break. Okay, final segment on tonight's Bob Tuscan Show. It's July 4th, 2011. We're joined with Max Egan, ending the show on a solutions-oriented note. There's so much suffering going on in the world today. So many evil people pulling the strings. And what are you really fighting for? Well, you're fighting for the ability to live and love and spend time with your friends and family and eat good food that's not going to poison you. At the end of the day, that's what we need to fight for. That's the independence that I stand for. And I know the listeners of this show do as well. Max, let's end the show on a good note, because we talked a lot about some division and, you know, some awful issues like the fracking and the killing of our planet. Because that's what we're doing. We're killing this planet, aren't we?
Well, we are, you know, and the way to get through it all is community. I mean, the way to end the fracking is community. The way to everything is community. You know, get along with your neighbors and all stand together. The way to 9/11 truth is community. But even if your neighbor doesn't believe in the 9/11, doesn't believe there should be a new investigation, and you do, love them anyway. Don't fight with them. Don't hate them. I mean, because if there is community, we get all things done. All problems are overcome if we can depend on each other. Now, the only reason we can't stand up against the system that enslaves us is because we don't have this community. So you've got to have community. And all the people that are speaking out against the New World Order and against the system that enslaves us, if you're just speaking out about this system and you haven't built community around you and you want to bring this system down, then what are you going to do if it comes down? What are you going to have to fall back on if you haven't got community? If you can't depend on the people around you, what are you going to do? You're going to be left without food. You're going to be left without infrastructure. You're going to be left without everything. So you've got to have this community. It's the most important thing in the world to do. Community is how we get...
Sorry, Max. Didn't mean to interrupt. But speaking of community, I hear the magpies in the background.
Yeah. I get a lot of birds here. I actually have to keep my doors closed. They want to come in. I have so many animals kind of visit me and birds. It's amazing. I just kind of attract.
Well, they're a part of this community, this ecosystem, if you will, of the planet.
Well, yeah, and they all come to visit me. It's amazing. I have all sorts of animals. I actually got a barrier I've got to put up across the door of my cabin to stop the animals.
How do you protect the garden from all the birds?
Well, I've got these gardens on tables. They're kind of standing up. The birds kind of get into them a little bit, but they're okay. I feed the birds lots of nuts and stuff. There's plenty of food for them around here. They don't really need to go to our gardens too much.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt your idea on community. I just heard the birds in the background, and I was thinking that you got quite the community going on over there, and you're very active in your community, aren't you, Max?
Well, you have to be, because it's the only way through all of this stuff. Like I said, you've got to be able to depend on the people around you. And if the people next to you have a different opinion about something to you, that's okay. That's okay for them to have whatever they have. But in times of stress, in times of need, in times of political turmoil, and in times of oppression, in times of tyranny, all you have to fall back on, all you have to depend on is those people around you that you've helped. And that have helped you and that you've developed a relationship with. So you've got to develop these relationships. You've got to have this community. The whole system that we live under is designed to prevent this. It's designed to divide us. It's designed to enslave us to debt and to keep us believing that acquisition is success, that the one with the most wins, and to judge each other by what we own. And it's not reality. So just move on. Don't hate people. You know, back to Charlie, if you're going to hate Charlie for what he did, you're just becoming what you profess to hate. You know, move on from the whole thing. It's all okay. You know, the truth will come, whatever that truth is, it will come eventually if everybody persists at it. But the only way we're ever going to achieve anything is if we stand together. So that's what we have to do. And people are allowed to have other opinions. They're allowed to have other ideas. They're allowed to be different. They're allowed to be individual, because that's essentially what makes you who you are, is that you allow yourself to be individual. And we can do this. We can absolutely do this. So I think that's what we should be concentrating on more than anything, is community and concentrating on each other.
One of the coolest things about my community is that there are community gardens popping up everywhere. And it's just so awesome to, you know, find a public space where people can grow food and share what nature provides.
Yeah, we've got them all around here. It's really, really good. That's a great thing about this area, is that everybody's right into gardening, and we've got lots of community gardens, and it's a great place. It's a great thing to see. It's a great way of uniting the community, because getting in the garden and getting your hands dirty, getting in the soil, I don't know, just makes you a better human being, I think.
It's good for the soul. Speaking of gardening, what's going on down there? It's probably getting pretty cold, huh?
Well, yeah, it's the middle of winter down here, so we haven't got a lot going on at the moment. All the winter crops are in, but yeah, it's pretty cold at the moment. Although it doesn't, I mean, people are going to laugh at me for saying that. I'm in Byron Bay. It doesn't ever really get really cold here, but yeah, it's a pretty good place to live. But hey, it's cold for me. I'm used to it being warmer, so I get cold. So judge me if you will.
Yeah, I'm from South Florida, Max. I can relate. You know, it probably gets down to the 50s, but that's cold. That's cold.
Well, yeah, it is for us.
Yeah, so fair enough. All right, folks. You know, that's always funny when you're dealing with Australia versus up here in the Northern Hemisphere. People forget. It's wintertime down there, you know?
Yeah, well, no chemtrails, though. It's been really, really good for chemtrails in the last couple of weeks.
Really?
No chemtrails for a few weeks here. I don't know what's going on. I think might have been something to do with the volcano in Chile that shut down a lot of the airports here for a while, and they couldn't fly.
Hmm. Interesting. You know, I wonder sometimes what the chemtrail schedule is. It's very hard to tell. It's always troubled me. I'm not sure, you know, when they decide to do it, what their rhyme or reason is. It's kind of perplexing.
It's a really, really confusing issue, and it's one of the most controversial issues out there as well. So many people believe it, so many people don't believe it. But hey, you know, the analysis is in the soil and water. That's basically it. You know, you find these amounts of aluminium and barium and stuff in the soil and water, and you think, well, they're obviously doing it. But I mean, I think it all ties in with Agenda 21. I really do. I think it ties in with the genetic manipulation of the human race, because they're genetically modifying the soil by putting all this aluminium and stuff in it. Monsanto is, of course, bringing in all these aluminium-resistant...
aluminum-resistant seeds, yeah.
Yeah, all this sort
crazy.
Of stuff.
It's so, you know, problem-reaction-solution.
Yeah, you destroy the groundwater. You make the soil, you know, reduce the soil to a condition where it won't grow anything but GM food. You move everybody into the cities, and you just strip mine the rest of the planet. That seems to be what's going on.
That's a great assessment of what's going on, Max, and it's up to the listeners and everyone out there. I mean, it's up to humanity, I guess, to do something about it, and I thank you for doing your part, Max. Your website, thecrowhouse.com, right?
That's the one.
All right, Max. Thanks, as always, for coming on the Bob Tuscan Show.
My pleasure, brother.
Take care.